name is Tom Calloway. My username in Fedora is Spot. You might recognize me better as that. And
I'm Jack Abutbol, Fedora marketing guy. And we're here talking about Fedora 11.
Well, I think that we're in a good state with Fedora 11. I think that the core features are some of the more aggressive features that we've tried to drive forward. Mm-hmm. I think we have a lot of different things going on at once, and a lot of things happening behind the scenes that people aren't going to be aware of. Kernel mode setting is a great example of that, where we added for some of the ATI cards in the first pass on Fedora 10, but with this release, we're going to have it for pretty much all of the ATI cards and most of the NVIDIA cards and Intel as well. And so what this means for users is they're going to get a very clean graphical boot without flickering, without flashing, and it's going to just sort of roll right into the login screen. And they don't have to be aware, if they don't want to, of what is happening on the startup. And the whole startup process, the speed it takes to actually start up Fedora 11 is a lot faster than the previous release, which was a lot faster than the previous release. So I think that the count we're down to is about 20 seconds for the default install from power on to login.
That's good. They, it's actually a lot of the work that's being done for this release is kind of moving forward stuff that we introduced in other releases. So it's sort of like, it seems it's more like evolutionary than revolutionary.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I think that we are always trying to set big goals in Fedora, and at the same time we're trying to take those goals and sort of do what we can in the time frame that we have for a release, because we only have about 6 months, give or take, for a release, and you cannot change everything in 6 months. You can only change certain things, but you definitely see there's a natural evolution. And I think that one of the nice things is that a lot of these evolutions are taking place with upstream participation, and it's not just stuff where you've got Red Hat or Fedora folks that are hacking away at stuff and then we just bombard upstream with these fixes. We are actually working with the upstream to make these improvements, and the benefit of that direct relationship with upstream means that we don't have to worry about the things that we did for Fedora 10 not being relevant because upstream went in a different direction. And I think that that's huge, because users hate that. They hate that when, you know, you've got that, this was awesome in the last release and now it's totally different. What happened? And, you know, there's always going to be some of that because we don't have control over where the upstreams go, but I think when we're talking with them about the features that we're driving forward and that we're advertising, that we can minimize that effect.
Mm-hmm. And as just as someone who's responsible for a lot of like big picture stuff, can you just talk a little bit more to the how important it is of that being the process that we work with upstream, and that you know, we do collaborate with other groups and everything, just to, like, you know, if I'm a Fedora user, why should I care that Fedora works with the upstream?
Well, I think that there's a lot of reasons why you would want to care that we do work with the upstream, which is, as you said, it's a very important thing to everything that we're doing. If you don't work with upstream, the downside is that you tend to effectively fork yourself and you fork your code, and you have to take a lot more responsibility in order to maintain that fork, because upstream's not going to help you with those things that you've forked onto. And Fedora is never going to be as broad as the wider open source community. And if we've effectively forked, then what that means is that we're going to have our own bugs, and we'll have less people to look at those bugs, and those bugs will get fixed less quickly. And if we can involve upstream directly in this relationship, then we can leverage a much wider user base, even outside of Fedora, to help us get bugs fixed, to help people looking at issues. And it results in a better experience for the Fedora user, who finds a bug, gets it fixed much faster, and doesn't have to worry about that bug creeping up later at some point in the future, because when Fedora knows about it, then upstream knows about it, and upstream can be conscious of it, and good upstream will make test cases to prevent that bug from coming again. Whereas if we just fix the issue and bury it inside of our release and never tell upstream about it, then upstream doesn't know it's a problem and may trigger it in six different ways that we never thought about checking for. active, even if they're not necessarily, you know, Fedora users. They don't have a Fedora system running at home. They've set these up in a way so that they can take the live images from Fedora, run them through a test matrix, and be more involved in that process and let us know what works, what doesn't work, and we can get this information a lot earlier. Historically, that's been the hardest point for us, is that we do a lot of testing on the hardware that we have, with the people that we have, with the situations that we care about, but that's always going to be a subset of what the larger community is interested in. And so if we can get them involved earlier in the process, then we can help edge those corner cases back into the center and cover those so that we have a very solid release. And I think that a lot of people that are testing the preview release, a lot of the feedback that I've seen on blogs and Twitters and all sorts of places where I'm watching for that sort of thing, is that the preview release is considered to be extremely strong in comparison to the beta, and even so strong that people say that it may even be ready for release as is. I know we've still got a lot of bugs that we want to work out before we do that final release, but it's really good to hear people say that they think that this is one of our stronger releases, because the QA is what really makes that possible. And then, you know, there's always the larger topic of what sort of automated QA we can do, and this is a big issue that we've been discussing for at least 6 months now, on how to automate a lot of the behind-the-scenes stuff in the QA. And Jesse Keating is doing a good job of sort of setting up some plans for that and starting to do some of that implementation. And I think, honestly, we'll see a lot of the results of that with the Fedora 12 and onward releases.
So talking about upcoming releases, I just want to get your thoughts on, so we're at are on the brink of Fedora 11 right now. And the joke was always that we'd never even get to a version 10. So that's something kind of to be proud of. And I just wanted to know, you've been involved in this a lot longer than most people have. And I just wanted to get your thoughts about that, and just, you know, how much of an amazing ride, or lack of, you think it's been. What do you think have been the real highlights, and what has it meant for you personally up until this point?
Well, I think that one of the beliefs that I've always had around Red Hat Linux and Fedora was that the community, having them more involved in the making of what actually ends up going into Fedora, is what could make Red Hat Linux originally, and then later Fedora, what could make that really so much more awesome than it was. It's not that Red Hat ever did a bad job with Red Hat Linux, but the community has such a wide range of creativity and opportunities and experiences and use cases that they bring to the table that really we weren't ever able to capture it in the right way. It was always sort of an afterthought. When I used to go out and talk to people about Red Hat Linux at trade shows and things like that, they'd come up to me and they'd go, yeah, it's great, but it'd be really awesome if you could do X, Y, Z, and ABC, and all these other things. And we never really had a great way to capture that with the Red Hat Linux days. I mean, if you bought a box set and you paid for support and you called us up and filed a support ticket on it, then maybe it would work its way through the system, or maybe somebody looked at the right Bugzilla ticket, you could see that improvement. But with Fedora and the community model, making it more of a community-driven release as opposed to the release that Red Hat presents to the community, we've really seen that we can accelerate the level of intensity, excitement, the features that we're willing to offer. We're doing things in spaces like astronomy, education, games. These are areas that, you know, Red Hat probably wouldn't have spent any time on its own, but because there are these motivated people that are out there that are interested in these areas, these Fedora can really move into these spaces and start to benefit, start to grow. And that's been the biggest win for me in my cycle, is watching Fedora really grow into what I always thought it could be, which is just community-driven. And, you know, there's always these criticisms that still behind the scenes, the Red Hat cabal is locked in a room and we're making all the key decisions and then we just, you know, sneak these in under the cover of community. But I really can tell you that it doesn't work that way. We're just not that organized. I think that over time, the one thing that is most disappointing to me from being a long-time developer and user is that we seem to lose, with the fast pace, some of the institutional memory about how bad things used to be. I mean, watching this whole the sound debate, I don't mean to belittle the discussions that are going on there. There are people buried in that monstrous threat of pain that do have legitimate concerns, but it is apparent to me that none of these people tried to use sound around Red Hat Linux 5 because it was just a nightmare. And the situation where we have today where we're literally arguing over which mixers we need to tweak to get the volume to raise is just light years ahead of where it used to be, where 8 out of every 10 sound cards weren't supported at all. And if they were, half the time you had to go out and get a proprietary driver to put it in place. And then if it worked without crashing your kernel 6 times a day, you might be lucky to get sound to pump through it. And we've just made so many more improvements that I wish people had a little better understanding of how far we've actually come before they declare that the lack of mixers is going to destroy the internet, or that the choice of audio system library standardization is going to bring upon the end of humanity, as somebody posted in that thread. It really isn't even on that scale. I mean, we were at the end of humanity stage years ago, and we have gone so far past that.
What does the future look like? What's on the plate moving forward? Where do we want to go? What things do we want to be involved in that might not be so prominent on the radar, things that are on the back burner that might be coming to the front? Or just anything else that you want to share with everybody?
Well, the future is always hard to predict. You know, you get all these people that are, you know, saying things. They write, you know, flying cars and, you know, hoverboards and things like that. And they end up being really embarrassed. And they go and they look at it and they go, damn, I really thought text-based web browsing was going to be the future. But, you know, the short-term future, I think, around Fedora 12, I think one of the goals is to reset our cycle and have a little bit of a shorter time cycle around the Fedora 12 release so that we can get back on our normal 6-month point cycle, which lines us up really well with the key dates for GNOME and the toolkit. By the toolkit, I mean glibc and GCC. And feature-wise, I think that there are still some areas where we want to see improvements. I think we're constantly working on security as a key target, making SE Linux easier to use, more foolproof out of the box. Every release we get better and better at that, and I think that as the future goes on, I think that's one of the things we're going to continue to try and see improvements in that space. A couple other areas in Fedora where we don't usually get a lot of discussion are infrastructure. It's constantly improving and changing. There's a new application that we're working on called Fedora Community that is basically a giant, and I hate the word portal, but it's a web application that acts like a portal for all of the underlying Fedora infrastructure components so that you can have one view and see, for example, who owns a package, what the latest version of that package is, what the latest updates for that package is, who has commit access to that package, a link for downloading the sources, maybe even the patches for that package, and then being able to, as a maintainer, use that same interface to track a build, see it finish, push it through as an update without having to go to 3 or 4 different web applications with possibly different login screens. Just sort of bringing that all together. And we're using a really interesting framework called Moksha that is Python-driven, using TurboGears and Orbited and a lot of these really strong WSGI technologies that are out there. But no one has really sort of put them together into a unique, clean framework. And we've actually done that with Moksha. And we're building Fedora Community as our first application on top of Moksha. But we're really going to be looking at where we can use Moksha to improve the next major versions of some of our other technologies, like our account system, the package database, the updates mechanism. And I think that people are going to be really pleased with the results that we do, that it's going to make life a lot simpler for not only our package maintainers, but going forward we're going to see workflows for QA, workflows for just normal Fedora users. We're going to try and use these tools as a mechanism to really build community, and not just a developer community, but also a user community, so that they have a way to pretty pain-free ways to give feedback to maintainers, to the distribution, to the various projects. And then there's always my little private hope, and this is, you know, what I would love to see us do, is I would love to see Fedora inspire more open content, more free content, and go beyond just software. I think that it would be awesome if we had more of a artist's movement around Fedora, that people started to use Fedora as a mechanism to create and distribute free content. Creative Commons has done a great job of putting some good licenses together to make that possible from a legal aspect, and I would love to see Fedora be the engine to help drive this content to the average Fedora user. There's just a lot of people that are very talented out there, and I think the Fedora could be a great medium to help them spread their art and spread their message out. But again, that's just, you know, that's a real utopian vision from my perspective. I don't think we have any short-term targets for that.
So when it comes down to it, over the past few years, Fedora and the community that's been built around it has been very successful in establishing and becoming just that, a true grassroots community built around, you know, Fedora and sort of all the other different things in the Fedora universe. How does it feel personally to, I mean, aren't you proud that we've come this far and we've, you know, we have a great opportunity to do all this within the framework of community by involving other people, by, you know, giving people access to things which normally a lot of people are very fearful about. How does that feel like, you know, sort of like it's a career triumph, but does it feel like a personal triumph as well?
I mean, absolutely. I mean, this is, you know, this is a really do feel lucky that I'm in a position where someone pays me to not just hack on open source, but also to help grow community and help promote community efforts, because there are plenty of people who have jobs where they can be good at their job and hate it. And there are plenty of people that can be terrible at their job and love it. And I'm lucky enough to be in a place where I'm good at my job and I love doing it, and it benefits other people, and that's part of what I really get out of it. So the success of Fedora as a self-sustaining community where we're not having to constantly pump money into the community to keep people around, that people are coming to be involved in Fedora because they truly want to be involved, they enjoy being involved, they see benefit in doing it, where we don't have to aggressively recruit.
Yeah, they're here because they want to be here.
Exactly, and that always makes it more fun. That makes it more interesting. Even when what I'm doing in a day-to-day thing turns out to be not very much fun, the whole community is a good place to be. You know, 1,000 male flame lists, notwithstanding. No, I think that, you know, the one thing that I would want people to take away is that Fedora is still growing. We are still out there. There's a lot of people that think that we, you know, they don't pay as much attention to us as I think they might should, because we're doing lots of cool things, and we're doing a very good job of advertising the features that we have, that we've worked on, that I think that there is a compelling reason for people to want to be involved in the Fedora community as opposed to some of the other opportunities that are out there. And I would encourage them to try and find the best fit for them, but not to exclude Fedora outright as something old and something that, you know, is inflexible. Because I think what you'll find if you look at us is that we have a lot of stuff going on, and we actually have a lot of places where creative people, not just coders, but creative people can get involved and help us out and help us grow the message of freedom and open source.
It's like the example of, you know, like the young upstart kid versus the mature old man.
There's a certain amount of old man smell that comes with, you know, any product that's at 11 releases. But, you know, I think we've managed to keep it really fresh in a lot of ways. And I think that we're very open to new sort of earth-shattering ideas. And so if you have one, we definitely want to hear it.
Yeah, and now's definitely the time to get involved in stuff like that, seeing as that, you know, most of most of the workflow for things that need to happen is quite solidified. Like you said, it's already been like 11 releases. So now is definitely a good time to get into anything earth-shattering that we want to do, you know.
I mean, Fedora is a great place if you have if you've got an idea and you've got the motivation and you want to work on something, you have a good idea and you want to have a community to help you take that idea and bring it to completion. This is what Fedora can provide you. It can provide you that community, the tools, the feedback. But you have to be willing to put in, you know, some time, some effort. We want people to be involved. And the level of involvement, entirely up to you, but we want to have a closer relationship with our users, with our developers, with our artists, with our writers, with our ambassadors, and not just have this sort of stereotypical, well, I used it and it would be great if it made toast for me relationship. I'm not really interested in that. Paul might be. He may take me out back and beat me later for saying that.
Yeah, so I guess that's pretty much a wrap. Thanks for sitting with me. And if you have any closing comments, now would be the time. But I think we pretty much covered anything. So thanks for being here. And we all hope that we can continue all the great work that we've been doing and continue in the same vein. And hopefully pound through another 11 releases. Much in the same way we've done now, and keep growing the community, keep growing ourselves, and keep the technology as fresh as possible. That's pretty much our mission.
If the swine flu doesn't kill us all, we're all good.
Yes.
All right. Thanks.